Now is a national advocacy group focusing on fighting all forms of sex discrimination. NOMAS, the National Organization for Men Against Sexism, joined Now and kicked off the weekend with a panel on feminist men and relationships. Ben Atherton-Zeman, the director of Voices for Men, said women have an understandable reason to still question the motives of feminist men.
Every 12 seconds, somewhere in the United States, a member of my gender, a man, abuses the woman that he has promised to love. And every 2 minutes, somewhere in the U.S., a man rapes a woman. Probably every second of every day, men deal out the daily indignities of sexism, street harassment, sexual harassment, as Micah's coworkers did in Seattle. So of course it makes sense for us men to be involved in seeking solutions to stopping sexism and sexist-based violence. It's our gender that perpetrates it. And yet we, as Michael Kaufman of the White Ribbon Campaign says, we stay home in droves on this issue.
One member of the Young Feminist Task Force, Micah Bochart, said feminist men have a responsibility to speak out against sexist crimes.
It's part of the spectrum, and all of it sends the same message. All of it has the same effect. It's a stripping of value from women. It's a dehumanizing process. It's an objectification of women. And through this lens, it makes it that much easier to perform acts of actual physical violence, because in that respect, you're merely transgressing against an object. I also think a crucial ingredient of male feminism is the willingness to confront other men when sexism is voiced. That can be telling a guy, hey, you know, that joke of yours really isn't that funny. It could be telling a guy, you know, street harassment is morally wrong. There should be 100% zero tolerance for this act.
Naveen El Nawawi is a Muslim community activist. She thinks women in Middle Eastern states which manufacture oil or places with a higher standard of living are less likely to speak out about violence. She also says Islam and feminism are not conflicting ideals as some would think.
This somehow theology that Islam or Muslims are somehow inherently incompatible with feminism, as if feminism is just one kind of strict ideology. And we don't only just see this with Islam or with Muslims, but even within the greater American feminism, there is still racism between the white sister and the black sister. And that's what I'm going to talk about, the clash between feminisms, is that basically as a result of where feminism took, you know, heed inside the American or the European society, mostly Anglo societies, is that it comes hand in hand with this Lockean, sometimes even by socialist standards, capitalistic ideology toward feminism. And we can also see that with working class American women compared to their elite counterparts.
Jaron Arifa, a Now board member, said Americans should focus more on stopping the abuse of the women in their own backyard rather than the women in the Middle East.
If the idea is about, you know, keeping the honor of the family, keeping the family together, not shaming the family, was only present in Islam, a woman would not be raped or hit every 9 seconds. And, you know, I work in the domestic violence field. I hear this from every culture. I hear from Latino men who said, well, you know, it's just a machismo culture. You know, we drink and we hit our wives. I hear from American men who said, what? I saw my dad hitting my mom. I didn't know it was wrong. As soon as you take personal responsibility away and make it a cultural thing, we're just going to, you know, through a downhill slope. So I just want all of you to be aware of that. There's no such thing as honor killing. It's domestic violence.
A psychologist for sexual abuse, Juanita Baker, was a member of the audience during one panel discussion. Baker compared how Americans judge rape victims and how they dress with the way Islamic women are judged on their cultural dress. Amala Abdurrahman, a recent law grad and member of CARE Tampa, said she wears her hijab as a way of expressing her American rights.
One of the things for me is, like, being American, I saw it as sort of like America's not just one culture, like some people think it is. It's a massive, amazing thing where, like, there's so many different people of all kinds of backgrounds that help to influence what America is. And to me, as an American, I feel that I should have the right to say how I want to dress, what religion I want to practice, what I want to do, and so wearing my covering actually is a part of that.
Fewer than 5% of sexual violence victims report the abuse to their school campus. According to one of the speakers, Holly Curl, author and founder of Stop Street Harassment, Kelly Addington, CEO and president of One Student, said students should enact change and encourage their schools to join the No Woman Left Behind campaign, an organization dedicated to stopping sexual violence against women.
On my core belief that one sexual assault is too many and one student can make a difference, that we all have the opportunity to enact change within our campus, but it doesn't start with me. I'm not involved in the communities that I work with in an intimate way. It starts with you, you folks who are students in here. It's the students that need to be the change, that know their community and can impact their community in a very positive way.
The group Girls Inc. of Pinellas received the Girl Powered Media Award for taking a stand against a sexually explicit billboard on 66th Street. Girls Inc. takes the position that there is a correlation between sexual images of women and the violence their generation is facing. Melanie Campbell, president and CEO of the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation, motivated the crowd with a victory chant.
Fight back!
Fight back!
Fight back!
Fight back!
We're gonna win!
We're gonna win!
For more information on feminism, visit our website, wmnf.org/news. Reporting from Tampa for WMNF News, I'm Lachelle Roddy.